welcome to Season 7 of The Process Podcast, an interview series exploring the process of survival as a creative. For this season, we're going back to our roots and talking to all sorts of creatives from a wide variety of industries, backgrounds, and creative endeavors about how they make it all work, from mental health to relationships to money to the creative process itself, and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Shannon Byrne, and I'm just trying to figure it out like the rest of us. Big thanks to the band Blessed for letting us use our song Endure as our intro music for this season. You can find their music at Blessed, that's B-L-E-S-S-E-D, band.bandcamp.com, or wherever you buy your music. And to Hannah Spencer for all of the design and branding and the strategy work she does for us. And Lonnie Webb for running our social media. Thank you for listening. Hope y'all dig it. Hi. Hello. Welcome to episode 93, y'all. 93 of the Process Podcast. This is also our last episode of season 7, so that's both exciting and a little sad. But we have an excellent interview closing this season that I've really enjoyed, and I know obviously I love all of these episodes every season, but this one we really went back to our original roots from 3 years ago of kind of, yeah, there's a lot of music people in here for sure, but it's a beautiful mosaic of, I was going to say hodgepodge and I stopped myself, a beautiful mosaic of people from all sorts of creative industries talking about all sorts of different parts of the process and challenges and opportunities and reflections. So that's been a lot of fun for us over here at The Process, and I hope it has been for you too. This week's episode is with creative multi-hyphenate Jordan Moser. Jordan does a lot. He is a professional ballet dancer, now retired. He's a filmmaker, a choreographer, and a musician, and also an activist, and works on land that him and his wife live on. Super talented person and also very, very kind person. You know, it was very much a joy to get to meet and get to know Jordan. This conversation took place last November. I had the honor of visiting Jordan's home in Wimberley, Texas last November on their beautiful property and got to walk around and check it out. And you'll hear some outdoors stuff occasionally. This was recorded in what was his father-in-law's writing cabin turned music studio. It was very beautiful. We talk about all sorts of stuff, but before I get to that, definitely check out Jordan's music. I link to all of it at theprocess.co. His album that was released last year, Long Night, is a beautiful piece of art. He's also done lovely film work, which is also linked to on our site or on Jordan's website, which is jordanmosermusic.art. So I can relate to Jordan on the doing many things, at least to a certain extent. So we talk about that a lot. We also talk about his creative and professional journey and evolution, how music's played a role in his creativity throughout his whole life, and what made him pursue it more professionally and put out the record last year. His appetite to always be doing something creative and the fun and the opportunities that come with that, as well as the challenges and struggles of delineating time when he's always so deeply involved in one creative endeavor after another. We also dive into that deep involvement a bit. It's what he calls a lack of an official practice around his art, but what his non-practice practice looks like. We also talk a lot about professional dancing and the dance industry and his story versus the industry in general. And he shares some common misconceptions about dance, which was super interesting. We also talk about the recording process, what to expect from his next album. We talk about the Permian Highway Pipeline in this episode as well, and his activism around environmental issues. He is continuing those efforts against the pipeline, and he is planning on recording a full album of environmental ballads. I'm assuming that the songs I heard last November or December were a part of those ballads. If not, sorry, Jordan. But if they are, I'm very, no matter what, I'm excited for this album. But I got to hear a couple of them played live, and they are very moving. So follow him on all the things, all at theprocess.co, to keep an eye out for what's next. I hope you all dig this conversation. Up next, we have a special mini-season that I'm not going to share the topic or who it's with quite yet, but I can promise you it's very exciting. Very, very stoked on it. So that's up next. And then, to be completely honest, I don't really know what lies ahead for the good old process after that. I'm mulling over a few ideas, trying to decide what path is best for everyone. Yeah, I hope y'all are doing well and still staying healthy and still, you know, not losing your minds entirely while in quarantine or doing whatever it is that you're doing. Okay, I've been talking too long. Cheers, y'all. See you soon.
My name is Jordan Moser, and I do a lot of things. I don't really know what I am in that constellation, but I do a lot of different things with my time, and I try to make art, so as one of those things.
Did you do the drawings inside?
That were on the table?
Yeah.
No. We were at our friend Emily Cross. Do you know her? She's a musician. Cross Record, yeah. And Loma. Yeah.
I don't know her personally, but I know her music. Yeah.
It was a birthday party, and like she always has like organized fun.
Cool.
Really fun stuff. And like it was just everyone was like drawing each other.
Mm.
And Oren and I stole those from the party because we liked them.
Nice. Yeah, they're great. So you're a part of all of the things that you do. For one, a dancer and a musician. And I feel like the one I know the least about is a filmmaker too, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to start with the dancing, since that seems to be the one that's been most prevalent in your life for the longest?
Yeah. Well, I started tap dancing when I was like 5, because my grandma got me lessons, you know, and I was a pretty precocious kid. And that slowly turned into a ballet training because, you know, the ballet teachers were always trying to get more boys to be willing to participate. Because unfortunately, you know, stigma at the time, when I started at the time, it was like before, it's like pre-Billy Elliot days. Like when Billy Elliot came out, like everyone was like, hey, did you see the movie about the boy that does ballet? You know, like, but, you know, so needless to say, really relate with that movie. But, but I was really accepted by my ballet was very much accepted in my family, despite, you know, I mean, there's a lot of artists in my family, but my dad, he's a carpenter. Okay. And my mom's a teacher. But my brothers were like punk rockers. So mm-hmm. I always had that in the mix of everything too.
Are they older?
Yeah, they're older.
Like Southern California punk rockers.
Yeah.
Like a scene, right?
Yeah, totally. And I was just a kid, you know, and I looked up to them so much, and I, you know, like hang out. They would let me hang out with them, you know.
Yeah.
Very graciously. And I learned a lot about music and stuff, and always played music with my brothers when we were kids, you know, just like Misfits covers and stuff like that.
What instrument did you gravitate towards?
I started out playing the drums. Okay. Because when I, at that time, like a guitar was like too big for me. I was like tiny.
were your brothers as like punk rockers pretty cool about the ballet?
Yeah. It wasn't really until I was in high school that I got serious about it.
Okay.
I kind of had done like acting and stuff when I was a kid, but when high school started, I made a decision to like go full on for ballet. And I got to like leave school early every day to go take ballet.
And were you making music this whole time too? Like,
Yeah, I would like write songs, and I've been writing songs like since I was 16, probably.
Did you have a band or anything in high school?
I was in a few bands, you know, just like playing drums and like here and there, and like nothing really serious.
Yeah,
but I always wrote songs, and I was like a solo artist, you know, but not really like anything serious. It was just something I like discovered that was good for me to do, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I enjoyed doing it. It was like a nice thing to do with my thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
You know? Like put them in that.
Did your parents play music at all?
No. I mean, I remember my mom like played a song on the guitar, you know, but when I was a kid, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And we had a guitar, and I remember when she did that, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like very powerful.
So you're in high school, you're in kind of in bands, you're writing songs, you're going to life. What comes after that?
Well, right after high school, I went to New York, and I had been going to New York in the summers and some winters to do auditions, but I moved there just to, like, audition. And then I got my first professional job. Well, during this time in New York, I was, like, working at a dance studio, just, like, cleaning the bathrooms, and I would busk, too, like... Mm. And I met a lot of like folk musicians and like street musicians there that really had a big impact on me, and just kind of lived that whole dream, you know, like imaginary dream for a little bit. But then I got a job dancing.
What year-ish was this?
This was 2005.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
I moved to New York in 2013 the first time. So... Yeah, probably very different.
Yeah.
Where, or you know, marginally different. Where were you living?
I was living in Harlem.
Okay.
I worked for this lady who lived on the Upper West Side. And so I spent a lot of time up there. She's like, she was like kind of my ballet mentor, you know. Okay. She always helped me out. And she was like this South African lady that just came from another time, another world, another dimension, and she really took care of me and taught me a lot and gave me lots of opportunities, you know. Her name's Mignon Furman. She's really cool.
Cool.
And I would travel around with her around the country to like do auditions for her summer school, and she was just a character. Like so many ballet teachers, I feel like I was, my like generation of ballet dancers is one of the last that like get to have those like really old school teachers that are just like the most eccentric and beautiful teachers and people and, you know, presences.
But... Yeah. I know it's incredibly competitive and it seems like a somewhat stressful, potentially stressful industry. Is that, did you experience that at all or was it?
I mean, the only thing stressful about it is how little money you make.
Yeah.
I mean, the performances are stressful and stuff, but like it's worth the stress. Like, it's pretty awesome, you know, having the experience of like dancing on a stage with 20 of your friends, you know, and coworkers and people you really care about, and just dancing all together and stuff, and just going through the dramas of being a dancer.
Yeah.
Together.
Not to genderize, new word, it too much, but.
Oh, ballet is totally gendered. Like,
yeah,
it's exactly. Totally patriarchal. Like,
yeah,
and hierarchical, and yeah, but did sorry.
It feel like the female identifying folks who were dancing with you had it. Was the competition tougher for them?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like yeah. For a guy doing ballet, like you get it kind of laid out on a silver platter.
Yeah,
in a way. I mean, you still have to work really hard, and ballet just itself is freaking next to impossible.
Yeah,
and you're like, there you are with your like. Weird body that you received and just trying to make it do some sort of
push it to its limits.
Yeah
absolutely.
Some sort of impression of what ballet is supposed to be, but
yeah.
No, for women, I mean, I definitely admire female ballet dancers because what they do is like a notch above. Like dancing on point is like way more painful, there's more women involved, there's more competition, and you know, all the various patriarchal influences as well. Like our company was, the culture was awesome. Like it wasn't like that, but you know, ballet started out as like an aristocracy thing, and it was like kind of like pageantry, kind of like prostitution a little bit, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah. I feel very like not conflicted actually, but like most of the classical ballets, like the stories are like, I'm like, no, like that's not, why are we telling this story?
Yeah.
But ballet is evolving and companies are evolving. And like this year they took away the name of the Nutcracker dances from being like from a country. Now they're like suites.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which I think is great. I've been hoping for that evolution my whole life.
I was in the Nutcracker when I was like 8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you?
One of the like random children, I think. I don't remember. I love doing ballet though. But when I have like bad knees forever. And when I went to Point, I like couldn't handle it. Mm. And everyone just let me quit instead of like, being like, I'll just stay on flat. Or like, yeah, you'll never be like a ballerina, but you can still dance.
Yeah.
Or like get physical therapy. I was like, all right, whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Well, what did, you know, at least they didn't like publicly shame you for not being able to handle the Point work.
True. Good point. Yeah. Could have been worse. What type of work did the company do? Like what?
Like full-on like classical ballets, okay. And full-on modern stuff. So mostly classical and then like, you know, I'd say 2/5 contemporary work.
Okay. Cool.
And that's what I enjoyed the most. I mean, that's really how, what I identify with in like my love of dance, you know. So it's not, I mean, when I was a kid, yeah, I wanted to see like some Baryshnikov like do a million pirouettes and like,
yeah,
that was awesome, you know. Now I kind of, your tastes evolve in a way, you know.
Yeah, the dancing I have seen you do in your videos and other people's videos, it does feel very contemporary. Very modern dancing, right?
Yeah. I just kind of spaz out, like I have this like improvisational movement practice that I do. I need to do it more because it's just really fun. But I basically just like flop around a studio for like as long as my imagination will allow it. But I try to give myself these like little tasks, and then I try to like break out of them, like snap out of them, you know, because if you do something, if you give yourself like a movement task, you'll start to like repeat the pattern like very quickly, because your imagination just like stops kind of. But this practice is like kind of goes before language. So I try to, it's like meditation kind of.
Okay.
And it sounds super pretentious and like esoteric what I'm saying right now, but it's really just me just flopping around in the studio, like exploring all the different ways my joints move, and trying to like practice improvisation like a jazz musician would, basically.
Okay.
You know? And when I work with other dancers, I basically give them the prompts that like I'm thinking during that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. How often are you doing that?
I want to do it more, but probably like twice a month.
Okay.
I mean, I'll work by myself like here and there, but like working with another dancer or working on something like probably twice a month. It's not really... That's the problem with like doing all this stuff, is like it's really hard for me to delineate like time to everything properly while still like working a job and keeping up with all my relationships. And yeah,
I've been having that conversation a lot lately.
It's really, yeah, I basically like barely keep up.
Yeah,
but all of the things I do like feed me in a different way, and I'm not committed to doing them and being that, like being a musician, being a dancer, but like the practice of doing all the different things is very beneficial to me. And in this time of like overworking and just basically spreading our, like, I feel like our generation like spreads itself too thin.
Yeah.
But I think of those things not as things that are making me spread more thin. It's just like regenerating parts of me that need to be regenerated. Just like, you know, I'm an extrovert and like I get recharged by like hanging out with my friends.
Okay, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I also am a fill in the blank, and I get recharged by flopping around in the studio, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
But
so you don't feel burnt out
I do. Yes, okay. I do. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But it's because of other things. Like, it's because of like work and just like, it's just like life stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like making ends meet and stuff, like itself, like burns me out.
Totally. And you're working like a 9-to-5-ish type of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Doing film work.
Yeah, I do video work, like 9-to-5. So then I'm in the computer world, and I love the creative part of doing video work, but it does require a lot of slouching in front of the computer.
Right.
Which I can do, mm-hmm. but it's just, I know that it doesn't, like, it's not recharging for me. It's not regenerative at all.
You
know?
Right. That's what you gotta do, though.
Yeah.
Pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Save all that good stuff. Are you shooting for them, too, or are you mostly having...
I make their trailers and stuff, and it's a fun project because a lot of times, especially when they're doing contemporary work, like the piece doesn't exist yet, but they want to like advertise for it. So I have to they give me free rein to kind mm-hmm. of construct a mock-up or a like an impression of like maybe possibly what it could be like and film that with the dancers.
It could be cool.
Yeah, that's the coolest part about it.
And for listeners, that's what... Boston, LA.
Ballet Austin.
Ballet Austin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you get into film? Like, where did that come from?
Well, I used to work at a photo mat. I was like, I had some friends that were like photographers, and I kind of like got into it a little bit. And, you know, I used to shoot like film photography. But when the DSLRs came out, I wasn't really like into that, you know?
Yeah.
There came a time when I had this injury. Well, I went to see a chiropractor, and she tore an artery in my neck. Wow. And so I had to have emergency surgery. It was like, it was crazy. Like I like lost vision in my right eye, and it was very, very intense.
Yeah.
And so that put me out of commission dancing wise for about 6 months. And I was like, hey, can I make a video? You know, like I had a camera that had like a video function. It's like, I'll make you guys a video. So that started to happen. And then when I retired, they basically made me a position there to do that full time.
What was the decision to retire? Like, what made you? I don't know how these things work. How did you know it was time to retire for you?
I mean, there's a lot of things. The biggest thing was I'm ready for the next thing. Mm-hmm. And that should be sooner rather than later. And it was just kind of like a switch that flipped. I was like, okay. But I could also kind of see the next 5 years in the company and like what was going on, like what pieces they were going to do. And because they kind of go in a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I could totally do that. That would be great. And I might repeat some things. And I just was ready to kind of shift into another lifestyle and all that. And it was very liberating, but because, you know, when you're a dancer, you're doing the same thing from when you're like 16.
Right.
You know, if you're a professional dancer, you've there's been a few weeks in your life where you didn't take ballet, but like, other than that.
Can you kind of quickly walk through what a day when you were an active dancer?
Yeah. Yeah. Get to the studio around 8:30. You have an hour and a half ballet class with the whole company, taught by the director or the associate artistic director. Then you have rehearsals until 5. And that's a normal, that's like a 6-week rehearsal period of that. Either that's a new creation or a restaging of an old piece. And you might have rehearsal like all the way until 5 every day, or you might get off and, you know, be able to go on a hike or something. And then, yeah, and then when we go into the theater, we have like a theater week where we're there every day of the week, and our schedule shifts to the nighttime.
Mm.
And that's when we perform.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. And when you're performing, I'd imagine you're also like practicing throughout the day, or is it more like you're fully practiced at that point?
Yeah, like, I mean, some companies you do that, like, but we don't have as many shows, and we don't have, like, companies in New York, like New York City Ballet, like, I know people who dance there, and you go to rehearsal in the day and then you perform at night, yeah. You know? each dancer kind of has their own crazy schedule that's going on. But ours is kind of more uniform because it's more of like a smaller ensemble company.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bounce them all around.
Oh, that's okay. This is how
it goes. Nothing's linear. So at what point did you start recording music? Or like and taking that to the next level?
I think when I moved to Austin, I started making recordings in like GarageBand and stuff. Yeah, that was kind of the beginning of my recording my own stuff. But I had always kind of recorded on like tape recorders and stuff, and just to hear my songs back and like, you know, make demos and stuff like that.
The new album's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's lovely.
Thanks.
Is that the first album that's on the label? Mm-hmm. What's your past album?
That's the first album that's been like out.
Released.
Yeah,
okay.
Out and released.
I didn't think there was.
Yeah. I had two other albums, but they were on small labels and didn't really see a big pressing or anything like that. I was just like, help, like making CDs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I mean, they're out there though. Like if you came to see one of my shows, you know, in the past 10 years, like you might have one of those. Someone might have one of those.
Yeah. So you moved to Austin, you start like recording on mm-hmm. GarageBand and stuff. Is that when you started performing other than busking, or were you doing that in like New York and LA too?
I didn't. I think it was, I spent like a whole year in Austin before I played a show here. Mm-hmm. But then since then I play like probably twice a month.
Do you?
Yeah. Just kind of people say, hey, you want to play? And I say, yeah.
Cool. So yeah. You're mostly playing with other people more so than playing your solo stuff?
No, it's mostly my solo. Yeah. People reach out to me and I have no idea how they know of my name. And I'm like, hello, yes, I will play it at your event. But it's really fun. And we were talking about like the Austin music community too. So that's kind of something I really treasure being able to take part in. And so I play as much as possible because of that, because I think it's really magical, lovely atmosphere.
What role does music play for you today? I mean, it's like felt like a pretty significant release, this last album, right?
Yeah. It's exceeded my expectations in every way. Making the record was more of a, you know, an exercise of just recording and just capturing something that you made with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the songs, like, I don't know, you're like the question, I don't know how, where to place the question, you know.
Where did the songs come from? Like, how long have you been writing them?
Those songs were kind of like 2 or 3 years old by the time that I recorded it for this record. But I had already recorded all those songs myself just at home, making like a whole other record that I kind of just scrapped because mm-hmm. I didn't think it had any life to it.
Yeah.
And I started to think of my music like more of as a performance than as a recording, because I'd done a lot of creative things like recording my own music and recording music for other, for friends, dance pieces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted my songs to be like captured as a performance. So that's why the record, like, it's live performances with overdubs.
Okay.
But like the main performance of myself and the drums and the bass and, you know, the guitars, that's live. We did overdub lots of guitars, but the main performance of the song is just us playing in a room.
So. Where do you record?
We recorded that in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mm. My friend Eric has a studio in his house and he has a tape machine, and he's just always been such a supporter of my music. And I was like, hey, like, I'll make a record. And he's like, come out for a week and we'll make a record. And I was like, great. So I brought Molly and Daly and my friend Jeff, and we just drove out there, like, brought all of our instruments and set up in the house and just recorded for a week. I just wanted to capture that.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any like big ideas about how I wanted the songs to be or sound or anything like that. I just trusted Eric to like capture it, and that's what he did. And then Dan Dazinski from Lomo Cross Record mixed it, and he brought it up to this other level, like sonically, that I really am into too. So.
And these are all just friends.
Yeah.
I guess what I was trying to ask is, if you felt that with this album, music would become like more part of your career, for lack of a better term, or if it was more of an art piece for you, or if you didn't even think about it in either of those ways. It feels very much like you just like live.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. Like, I've done my fair share of like resisting narratives. Like, I'm definitely not just letting things just like pass by me, you know?
Yeah.
And these opportunities aren't like just arising, you know?
Right.
I do have ambition and I do like seek things out. But there's like a narrative that I've resisted within myself of like quitting ballet to do music, like that, like, you know, it's just, it's kind of what happened, you know? And I also resisted the narrative for so long, like of dancing like to my own music, you know what I mean? Or because it was always something that, you know, someone's uncle was like, hey, you should do ballet. And, you know, I don't know, like it's just a narrative that arose in my life that I like resisted. But at some point I just stopped caring about that. And honestly, my music is like done with what's around me. And then when I had to make music videos, I just made a music video with what was around me. Like, there's just me out here, like setting up the camera. And I was like, I gotta make a music video. What's it gonna be? And so I believe in like limitations being like big drivers of creativity. And you can't really like get away from having limitations. But like I was saying with the computer, like making music on the computer, there's almost too many choices. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to have like your voice come out. It's something. It's might be even good, but for me, it doesn't make my like problem like identifying myself any easier. But if I do something that's just with what's laying around and it's me and I'm, or if it's just me and my friends, like I have an easier time like making that narrative, that being part of my identity, you know?
Yeah.
Or myself.
Right.
It feels authentic to me. I keep trailing off onto weird tangents, but
no,
that's what I do.
That's what a lot of us do. Cool. So you said the songs are a few years old.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the inspiration question, but like what drives you lyrically? Like, what do you?
Well, those songs came out of a really, really intense period of relationship tumult and trauma, and the songs, I wrote them kind of trying to deal with, just trying to navigate myself through that.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of try to find something worth saying that was kind of universal about those types of things, you know, when you think that your relationship is going to end, or you think that something is just too much to overcome, or that like
I feel it, listening to it, it takes me a long time to absorb and process lyrics, like many listens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I wish I was better at like processing lyrics quick, faster, but I definitely got the sense of like
I'm not good at it either. No? Yeah. I gotta listen to it until I like know actually what the song is saying. It takes me a few listens.
Yeah. I definitely got a sense of like love is hard but worth it. Mm-hmm. That was the general message of that album.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. And that's something I kind of wanted to capture, is like the beauty in those struggles and those like dark times, and like I kind of wanted to, I saw a lot of like ugly things in myself.
Mm.
And I kind of wanted to like frame those in like a way where I could deal with them and make it like regenerative, you know, like take something really bad. And the songs themselves are one thing, but then like the performance of the album is another. And like when we recorded the album, it was just a very loving memory, you know, mm-hmm. just hanging out and being carefree and just like recording music.
When it came to the recording and the performance, did you have an idea of what all the instruments would sound like and do, or is it very collaborative in terms of, did each musician kind of bring their own?
I just trusted them mm-hmm. with my music, and because we'd been playing a lot, you know, and we'd workshopped a lot, but I don't like to really dictate
had you laid down like drums and guitar and stuff, or did you just have like guitar and vocals?
I had an idea, kind of like the vibes, you know, the songs that we could try. And we had tried the songs already like live and kind of worked up our own versions of them. But Daily Tolliver, just his guitar playing, I just am in love with it. And so as long as it was his guitar playing, I was cool with it, you know?
Yeah.
And same with Molly Birch's singing, like, and my friend Jeff is a multi-instrumentalist, and he just has taught me so much about music and stuff, so I just trust him too. And
it feels like you're very self-taught for a lot of stuff. Is that true?
Yeah.
For instruments?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in terms of like self-recording, did you teach yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I learned by like observing others, you know.
Does all that stuff come pretty easy? Yeah. Is it like you really have to work on it?
I'd say, I don't know if how easy it comes, but it's not a part of it that I like particularly enjoy. It's just more of a means to an end.
Cool. Before I ask you the couple questions I ask everyone, like, what do you envision for yourself in the nearest future?
Well, I'm trying to see if I can step out into the broader world of filmmaking and stuff like that. So I've been looking for, you know, ways to do that. I've been writing, I have another record I'm making, and I've been writing songs. They're kind of like topical songs.
What do you mean?
Like, they're songs about like what's happening, you know, or rather than like me or my inner world. It's kind of like they're a little bit more like in the outer. Yeah. They're facing outward. I mean, it's still me dealing with all the stuff.
It's your perspective on it.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I want to record that like as soon as possible.
Is a lot of earth, nature stuff?
Yeah. Like I found myself writing these songs like about like, I get really obsessed with stuff, and I was like really obsessed with learning about like the different eons and like epochs and stuff. Not that in time, like in the ages of Earth, you know, and what was going on. And it wasn't for the reason of like wanting to learn their names or anything. I don't even remember their names, but I was just looking for places when carbon was high in our atmosphere in time. And I don't know. I just kind of, then they, a lot of like the Permian Basin started coming up, and I remember just driving through there. We were going to Carlsbad Caverns on a little vacation, and we were headed up to Santa Fe to stay with Jeff, who played on the record. But we drove through there at night, and there's all the flares, and it was just kind of like this pretty intense like vibe out there. And I started writing a song that was kind of having to do with that. And then that same weekend, I go to a show. I go to see my friend Will play in San Marcos, and I meet this guy who's like, oh, yeah, you know about the Permian Highway pipeline that's passing through Wimberley? And I was like, what? And so I started learning about that. And it turns out, like, this property that we're on right now, like, is part of the buffer zone. So luckily, they've been able to stall the project. Like, all the municipalities that it passes through have been like, almost all of them have been like, no, do not do this, because they aren't doing any environmental impact studies. They, since it's within Texas and it doesn't like cross any boundaries, they don't have to deal with like the federal level like stuff. And this is definitely endangered species, like golden cheek warbler habitat out there. And so I just started kind of getting into that, and then I started going to like the XR meetings in Austin, which are really, there's a really great group of people, you know.
What's XR?
Extinction Rebellion.
Okay.
It's just like a civil disobedience movement for the planet, for you know, climate action. But the group in Austin is it's cute. It's like 20 people, like some grannies, you know, aww, like some like folks that like live in a co-op together, and we do things like we did like a eulogy. We did like a grieving session for like the rainforest when it was burning, and we went to Barton Springs, and then we all like jumped in the water, and it was nice.
Yeah.
But so I've been kind of wrapped up in this world of thinking about the future and about environmental activism and stuff like that, and kind of trying to write some new songs in that realm and dealing with it like in the moment. And so that's what I'm working on. And it's been a weird project because it's very like intentional, like more so than anything that I've done before. So I'm wary of trying to put any labels on it at this point, but I think it's pretty obvious what I'm doing like in the songs. So
yeah. It's exciting. So it's still in like development.
Yeah. I keep telling myself like, okay, write like 3 more songs and then record. And I'll write 1 more song and then that'll inspire me. And then I'll rewrite a song I already wrote. So I don't know when it's going to be all finished. Each new song I write, I'm like, that's it. That's the centerpiece. Like that is the one. And then the next one I'm like, okay, yes, this is it. Like this is finally making sense to me. And I'm just kind of following myself through this kind of foolish process, but
heck if it works.
I don't know if it works, but it's what I'm thinking about, you know, so.
This is like a weird logistical question, but like, when do you find time to record and write and stuff? Is it mornings, nights, weekends, all of them?
I don't really have a good practice. Yeah. It's more like sometimes I'll just have a day where I whether by accident or happenstance, I just don't have anything to do. That's when I'll write songs. Sometimes the song just like hits me and then I have to just like run, you know, disappear for a while and just write it all out and record it real quick. And then, so I'm not one of those writers that like journals or anything. It more just like spontaneously like happens.
Okay.
Yeah. As much as I want it, I want to be able to snap my fingers, but like I've learned from doing that. If I do say I like really want to write a song, I will sabotage myself and it'll become a big struggle. And then I'll just end up like in this kind of fight with myself where I'm, you know, mad and indignant. Like,
yeah. Can't push it. Can't force it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just worked on a film for someone else. Who was it for? A music?
Oh yeah. I made a music video for Will Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was real fun. Just simple time. He just wanted shots of him in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there something else you worked on recently, film-wise?
This is funny. I choreographed a JPEG Mafia video.
That was it. Yeah.
It was more like my friend Andrew is directing it, and he's awesome. And I was kind of like talking about dance with him, and he's like, yeah, I'm doing this thing. I need like some ideas for this group, you know, that's going to be in this video. He's like, do you want to come work on it? I was like, yeah, great. And I didn't really know who JPEG Mafia was. He's just a really like artful rapper, hip hop artist. And he has a lot of fans and stuff. Mm. He's cool to work with. He's a crazy performer. Like,
really?
Yeah. He just has so much energy. But that was fun. And it wasn't like hip hop choreography or anything. Like, it was just kind of more like movement direction.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you like doing that stuff?
I do, yeah.
Choreographing?
Mm-hmm. I choreographed, like, my first full-on piece last year.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. For what was it?
It was for the, like, the trainee-level dancers at Ballet Austin.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you hope to do more of that?
I do, yeah. I really do. I really enjoy the work, and I enjoy sharing my knowledge of what I've learned in my dancing and...
Do you ever feel like you have to narrow down the things that you do? Or do you prefer to just keep working on the puzzle?
I probably should narrow down the things that I do, but I don't see as many like boundaries around them as like others do. Mm-hmm. I think
they all fit together very nicely.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a certain kind of hell, like trying to navigate and keep up with everything. And I do feel regret when I'm not like fully upholding like some idea that I have, or like for fully pursuing like something that I want to accomplish. But yeah, I just enjoy doing all of the things that I do. And for me, it seems kind of, as long as I get an opportunity to do it, as long as I have a reason to do it, such as, you know, the music video or choreographing, if I can get an opportunity doing it, I want to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to say like, no, like I don't do that, you know?
Right.
I guess I'm kind of just a little bit of a buffoon though, because I'll definitely walk into situations sometimes and it's like, I'm a little bit of, you know, over my head, at least in my, like internally, I'm like, okay, like, but then all I have to do is like stay up all night thinking, and then like the next day I'll be like, all right, I can do this.
Do you work well that way? Do you thrive off that feeling, sort of like, do you,
winging it?
Yeah. Do you think maybe you like gravitate towards those projects for a reason, because they are a certain kind of challenge?
Yeah, I like winging it. I like being prepared too, but I like winging it.
Yeah. So is there anything that you're doing to preserve yourself with like all of the madness, or are you kind of just,
well,
going with it?
I think that this is probably an unhealthy way to do it. Like, I don't think that my like mental hygiene is good in this area at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually like creates a lot of suffering. But my imagination is like very, very needy, and so I'll just jump from one thing to the other, you know. And like I was saying before, like just try to do things that regenerate me, like in of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That way, it's not depleting anything from me. I can just, you know, spend the day playing music with friends and like feel like so great, you know.
Do you mind elaborating on the suffering part? Like, do you mean just like the tension you were describing of like feeling that you should, air quotes, like mm-hmm. be finishing something, or is mm-hmm. that what you mean? Like,
yeah,
the anxiety,
yeah,
that comes with that?
Like, yeah, having like internal dialogue that is very impatient, you know?
Yeah.
And I do feel this urgency in this time, you know. And I'm kind of maniacal about certain things, and sometimes I just get like taken up by them, you know, like mm-hmm. thinking about like climate change and stuff like that, like, or I don't know, whatever creative process I'm in or whatever medium I'm working in, it'll kind of take me over. So I'll go from one to the next. And as far as mental health, like I need to get better at finding, I apparently you're supposed to have something that you do for you that is just for your mental health. Like, and I don't really know how to do that, you know?
Oh, I know.
What is that? Like,
yeah.
But then I go through my life and people tell me, oh, it's so great that you get to do what you love, you know? And there's this thing with dancing. Everyone's like, oh, you're doing what you love. Like, they just make it that assumption, you know?
Yeah.
I do love it, but, like, dancing is fucking hard, you know? And it's, like, it's a hard lifestyle, you know? So I don't really know what the hygiene that I'm supposed to be having is. I know that I need something right now. I'm not exactly sure what it is. And I think it's just, I need time. I need some time just to slow down, because
mm-hmm.
I feel really frantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going from one thing to the next, like, constantly, and like, barely able to recover. But those individual stopping points are all really nice, you know?
Yeah.
And I like it, but
when it comes to having like a day job, is your goal to like not have one? Are you cool with doing that? Plus, does it work nicely with everything else?
I mean, as long as my day job is creative and I'm able to work with people that in a way that is like nice and full of wonder, I don't think I need to like stop having a job, you know?
Yeah.
But I do, I've never had a job that wasn't like in the arts, basically. And I'm going to keep trying to make as much money as I can, you know, making artistic things, you know, or making things artfully.
I really appreciate what you said about people saying it's great that you do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
It is great you do work that's creatively fulfilling in many ways, right? But like, it is hard, and it doesn't mean that it's always easy. And, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like we all just project so much on each other. Like,
yeah, I don't think we mean wrong. We don't mean bad by when we look at someone and be like, "Wow, your life is amazing," you know? Because it probably is amazing, and like we all have things to be grateful for. But romanticizing the others around you always leads to disappointment.
Yeah.
And romanticizing your friends that have, like, you know, the perfect relationship or stuff like that, like, it kind of limits the actual, like, depth of things sometimes. And, you know, when I don't blame people, because people have blockage with dance. Like, they're like, "I don't understand it." It's like, well, you don't hear a minor chord that is a completely abstract thing and be like, "I don't understand this minor chord." Like, you just know that it sounds sadder than the major chord. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I know that's a totally indelicate thing. Like, of course, there's no words that describe music. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
With dance, people are, they have a very surface level reaction to it sometimes.
Mm. For me,
or maybe they just saw Billy Elliot, you know, and they're like, "You get to do what you love."
Right.
But my dad, like, total gruff, like, construction dude. Like, when I started to really, like, get into it, he told me, he's like, "I wish I could have done, you know, ballet when I was a kid.
Really?
I wish I had people that would, you know, support me and help me do that." And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
It was really cool. He was really, we would go see ballets together and stuff.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kept you going with dance in the times that it was? Surely there were moments that you had to be like, "Fuck this." Or did that never happen for you?
Yeah, it was usually around Nutcracker time.
Yeah.
I was like sitting on the side of the stage, like wearing a wig and just like hurting and just being like, "Ugh," you know, just like for the 100th time, you know, doing the Nutcracker and being like, "What am I doing with my life?"
Right.
But that always gave me impetus, like, to play music and stuff like that, because I wanted to like feel satisfied, feel like the like king of my own realm.
Yeah.
King, but like, you know, I had say, like,
in control.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're a dancer, you're someone else's, like, you're a medium in someone else's work of art. Mm-hmm. And there's not much, there's a range, but there's not much autonomy within that.
Right.
But
yeah, it feels silly, but I haven't thought of dance like that.
Yeah.
Dancers are talented. I haven't thought of them as, like, a medium.
Yeah, you do. Dancers should be seen and not heard. Like, if you have 20 people in the room, you can't have 20 opinions. Like, if you want people to stand in straight lines, you know, like,
right.
you just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And
so my questions that I ask everyone. This is a new one I've been testing out. But what does success mean and look like to you? Or do you reject that as a concept, however you want to answer it?
Hmm. I mean, I definitely have big problems with our culture's conception of success. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a fully formed version of what my idea of success would be. But maybe success is like finding a lifestyle where you can be uninhibited in your various like journeys of your mind and your heart and your body and your relationships. Yeah, being uninhibited just to like do your thing and accomplish what you want to accomplish. That's kind of success for me, I guess. Yeah.
What's something you're excited about today?
Well, I'm excited just to be able to spend the day out here because it's been a while and I've been doing just burning the candle at both ends and like being having very busy weeks, very, very busy weekends. But what am I excited about?
Do you want to talk a little bit about the land and moving out here?
Yeah, sure. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but yeah, it's just from being basically a city dweller, suburban city dweller my whole life, it's the first time I've lived on acreage that has like wild land on it, and I have been kind of committing myself to be like a steward of this land and to learn as much about it as I can and start that relationship, because I think that's a valuable thing that's like missing from our lives. And it's like the cause of many problems. But that said, like, I'm no like mystical, like I have no, I'm kind of like a buffoon doing this. Like, I don't really have any skills or training in biology or ecology or anything like that. But I'm just trying to have a relationship with the place and just like kind of observe it and watch it and like try to figure out like maybe what I could do that would like help it along, like where it wants to go.
And you mentioned impatience before. It sounds like this could be your project.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm like into the like the long view of it because it's different for me.
Right. Cool.
A lot of time I just spend just like wandering around, like looking at stuff.
Yeah, totally. It's also that, I mean, talk about finding a mental health thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like wandering around looking at earth stuff.
Yeah, true.
Like, that is meditation.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I guess I'm just not aware of it. To me, like, that's just me, like, going off and doing some other thing, like, yeah, letting my imagination just go. So maybe I do mental health things, but they're just not that obvious to me.
Right.
When I'm doing them.
Cool. Well, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. It's been a really fun conversation.
Yeah, totally.